All right, welcome to a Juno Afternoon here on Tuesday, March 25th, 2014. My name's Scott Burton. I'll be your host today. We've got a great show. Nate Heck will be here from the Saga Eagle Valley Center. Girl Scouts will be here. Allison Cooper and Ann Kurland to tell us about the Women of Science event at UAS this weekend. The Flying Karamazov brothers will be here in the studio. Who knows what's going to happen, talking about their show tonight at the high school. Montessori Borealis will tell us about their open houses and the application period for the next school year. Writer's Almanac, National Native News, music, and more here on a Juno Afternoon.
This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez. Judges in South Dakota's 7th Circuit have been ordered by a federal judge to sign over transcripts of Indian child welfare cases by the end of the week, or explain their refusal to do so. Attorneys for tribes and Native parents are suing county and state officials. They claim initial ICWA hearings in Pennington County are inadequate to ensure parents' rights to try to get children returned to them quickly. Victoria Wicks reports.
Federal Judge Jeffrey Viken ruled in January that a lawsuit against Pennington County authorities can proceed. Viken ordered that a list of ICWA hearings from January 2010 to the present must be provided to plaintiffs' attorneys and that plaintiffs should receive transcripts of every third hearing on the list. Plaintiffs say they received the list, and presiding judge Jeff Davis signed orders that his hearing should be transcribed and given to plaintiffs. But Davis says individual judges have to sign off on their own cases. According to the plaintiff's motion, the attorney for judges Eklund, Trimble, Thorstenson, Fifley, and Mandel said his clients are refusing to sign orders to have their cases transcribed, and he declined to give a reason why. Mary Thorstenson is no longer a judge in the 7th Circuit. Plaintiffs contend that Judge Davis, as presiding circuit judge, has authority to release her ICWA transcripts, as well as those of other judges in the circuit. Plaintiffs have asked Judge Viken to take one of three actions: to order Judge Davis to sign all the transcript orders, to order the five judges to sign them, or to order court reporters to produce transcripts without orders from the judges. Viken has set March 28th as a deadline for defendants to respond. For National Native News, I'm Victoria Wicks in Rapid City, South Dakota.
A tribe's plan for an off-reservation casino in southern Wisconsin is moving forward. WXPR's Natalie Jablonski reports on an agreement.
The Lac-Flambeau Tribe and the city of Shellsburg have reached an agreement on the terms of the 20-acre casino resort complex. Lac-Flambeau's project consultant, Joe Hunt, says the agreement indicates the tribe and the city are on the same page, but he says it's one step in a long process.
The intergovernmental agreement and the development agreement are part of the overall application process, so we've still got a ways to go.
The next step is finishing the environmental impact statement. That's required to get approval from the Bureau of Indian Affairs. The project would also need approval from the state of Wisconsin. That's proved a stumbling block for the Menominee Tribe's plan for an off-reservation casino in Kenosha. Governor Scott Walker has put off approving the plan due to another tribe's opposition to it. Hunt says the Lac-Flambeau Tribe has been paying attention to that situation.
We know that the jobs and the construction, the economic boost that these casinos provide to the areas are important to the economy, and we remain optimistic.
If the casino is approved, the agreement with the city says the tribe will make an infrastructure down payment in addition to annual impact payments. For National Native News, I'm Natalie Jablonski in Rhinelander, Wisconsin.
Services have been set for an Oklahoma tribal leader who died over the weekend. KGOU's Kirk Gortney reports.
The assistant chief of the United Kituwa Band of Cherokee Indians, Charles Locust, died after a lengthy illness. His services Wednesday afternoon in Briggs, Oklahoma. Locust was elected to office in 2004. He was most recently reelected in 2012. He served multiple terms as a member of the Oklahoma Indian Affairs Commission. That's the liaison between the state and Native American governments. Locust also spent two terms as a regional alternate vice president for the National Congress of American Indians. For National Native News, I'm Kurt Gwartney in Oklahoma City.
In March 1970, the first Arctic Winter Games were held in Yellowknife, Canada. Participants competed in traditional games for a chance to take home the gold ulu. This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez.
National Native News is produced at the Annenberg National Native Voice Studios in Albuquerque, New Mexico by Kawanic Broadcast Corporation, with offices in Anchorage, Alaska. Funding is provided by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, the Annenberg Foundation, and the Ford Foundation.
Support provided by the National Institutes of Health. The Center for American Indian Resilience is now accepting applications from Native American students for the Summer Research Enhancement Program through March 28th. Student interns will participate in a wide variety of ongoing public health research and health promotion projects. Interns receive research credits, housing at the Dene College Tsele campus, and a stipend. Go to nau.edu/cair for information and applications.
Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Service.
And I am back in the studio here on a Juneau afternoon, March 25th, 2014. With me now is Nate Heck of the Saga Eagle Valley Center. Nate, welcome.
Hey, thank you, Scott. Good to be here.
Yeah, nice to have you. And you're going to be telling us about the Spring Equinox Jamboree.
That's right. Yeah, we're having a great family fun day out at the lodge this Saturday, March 29th, from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m.
All right. For those of us that don't know what Saga is, and then by extension, the Eagle Valley Center, could you start by giving us a brief synopsis of what Saga is?
Yeah, you bet. Saga is a host of four nonprofit programs. You may be familiar with our programs. One is the Alaska Service Corps, which is the trail workers that travel around Alaska doing service projects like clearing for moose visibility, removing gravel underneath the roadways, and moving, taking out invasive species and doing trail work for public land agencies around the state. It's one of our programs. Another program you might be familiar with is our Juneau Douglas High School House Build Program, and we have Justin Fantasia on staff as a contractor, and he's working with the high school students to design and build affordable housing in Juneau. And they've been doing that for about 4 or 5 years, I think, in Juneau. And we have the Connections Program, which we place AmeriCorps members in agencies around the state of Alaska to help make connections for kids to increase science, technology, engineering, math, and literacy education in the state.
Okay.
And the fourth program is my program, which many people know as the Lodge or the Eagle Valley Center. And it's a year-round rental and retreat facility located at Amalga Harbor, which is a 24-mile glacier highway. And we're a year-round retreat center, but also an adventure education program. So we have the ropes course program, we have exhibition sea kayaking, backpacking programs, and we also do nature studies programs.
It is a great facility out there. I've had the privilege to go out, and it's there in the Amalga drainage and the access to the beach. You have the valley there to explore. There's forested areas, there's open areas, all kinds of wildlife. Absolutely beautiful on the outside, and then on the inside you have great facilities as well.
Yeah, it's the old Joe Smith. I guess it was his family's retreat. Back in the, I think it was the 50s or so that he built that for his family, and down below was part of the old dairy farm. So there was old stable doors, mm-hmm. Which we now have offices in, and upstairs is kind of a nice carpeted. Kind of a ranch-style house with four bedrooms with a nice fireplace, which looks like, local rock and a kitchen facility.
And you said it is a rental facility. How does that work? Who can go out there?
It's open to, any community members, families or groups of friends that want to come out. Our biggest client are mostly, organizations that have retreats out there. And, bring kids groups out. It's really fun for birthday parties. I've had a lot of, 8-year-old birthday parties out there and that kind of thing.
Great. Great. We talked about doing a house concert out there one day. We should get some music going out there,
I think you should bring the Great Alaskan Bluegrass Band to the Eagle Valley Center. Yeah, that'd be great.
I think we could have a lot of fun. It's a beautiful spot. But this weekend is from 10 to noon, and what can people expect as part of the Spring Equinox Jamboree?
Yeah, this is our sixth year of doing the Jamboree, and what it is, it's an open house event where we encourage people to park in Amalga Harbor, and we shuttle people into the facility because it's just kind of a one-lane, half-mile gravel road. And at the facility, we have our partner agencies through the Juneau Children's Outdoor Community Coalition, host and lead events at the facility. So this year we have Discovery Southeast, which will be leading a couple of nature hikes during the afternoon. We also have the Alaska Department of Fish and Game. They usually do a animal tracking or GPS exercise for the kids. And other partners this year, we have National Council on Alcoholism and Drug Dependence and United Way, and they'll be doing some activities for kids in the lodge, art projects, and also cookie baking in the lodge. And we also host a hot dog barbecue for everybody that comes out, and that's sponsored by Shattuck and Grumman Insurance. They signed on a couple years ago. We're really thankful to have them out there. It's 10 to 2, and it's just kind of an open house event. Again, you get to explore the Malaga Meadows area, take part in some of the activities. There's great trails out there. In the front yard, we have kind of carnival games, so we dig out a little lane. We still have 2 feet of snow on the ground out there right now, so it's kind of a fun day to get out and play in the last of the snow this year. We dig out a little spot for snow bowling on the front yard, and we have hula hoops and other kind of carnival-type games, as well as we built some snow forts and things like that.
Sounds like a lot of fun, and this is all free, right?
Yeah, it's all free.
All right, folks, if you want to do something really fun this Saturday from 10 to 2, head on out to the Eagle Valley Center. And, Nate, for some folks it can be a little hard to find. How would you best describe finding the center?
If you just pass, head out the road, and just pass Peterson Creek, we'll generally have a sign up right at the turnoff to Amalga Harbor. It says Jamboree this way. You take a left on Amalga Harbor and then head down to the boat ramp, park in that area, and then we'll shuttle you into the facility, or you can walk in. It's about a mile hike in.
Okay. So. Well, this sounds like a lot of fun for the family, all kinds of folks, nature, art, food, hot dogs, everything.
Yeah.
Carnival games, snow caves.
Yep, some good out-the-road fun.
Absolutely. If somebody wants more information, Nate, where should they get it?
They can go to our website at servealaska.org, or you can call me at 723-1547, and email, it's short for Eagle Valley Center Program, that's evcpro@servealaska.org.
All right, Nate Heck, thank you so much for coming in today.
Well, thank you. Hope to see you at Jamboree.
Yeah, anything else you want to add?
This is our sixth year, and I think that's kind of a milestone for us. Really thankful to all the partner agencies that have helped this year and in the past, and we're looking forward to keeping this event going annually.
Great. Well, thanks again.
Thank you.
All right, I'm going to queue up for our listeners now some Harrison B. Harrison will be playing a concert this Thursday night at 7 p.m. here at the new At 360 space downstairs. Here's a song he's done off his new album called Carry You.
In a lifetime, so when the storm is gone through, and that water overflowing, and all the streets run through. Where you hide, and the crowd's down, and the poor will bad news. Yeah, but that water, if you let it, they're gonna carry you. See the people. Overflowing with all the new things I do. Righteous living, sudden give up prejudice you can't refuse. That water, if you let it, they're gonna carry you. And they're untold, you're digging, they need a washing anew. And you pray to the world, how to put the storm on. You let them water. Good people are gonna help me.
Carry you.
Carry you.
Carry you.
Well, my brothers and my sisters, you know that I cannot prove, but the healing I do believe is in the living. This type of thing I do believe is being true.
So the next time that you go out and when you find time where there is some drowning to do, you let your troubles do your healing. You let them carry you. And then untold, when you're sitting here in need of washing the new one, and you cling to the ground after what the storm went through. But let go, you know you're gonna drown, yeah. But you let go and you let go. Yeah, well, you let that water. Good people are gonna help you. When you're sitting in need of washing anew, and you cling to the ground as the world the storm will do. Yeah, but you let go, and you know you gon' try. Yeah, go on, you let go, and you let know. But you let that water do your healing. You let it carry you. You let your troubles do your healing. Said they're gonna carry. Lord, I know they're gonna carry you. Yes,
love to take photos? We love photos and we want to see yours. Why not share them with KTOO and maybe win a bag of Heritage coffee? Send your photos to share@ktoo.org with the subject line, Photo of the Day. Please include the photographer's name and a description of where and when the photo was taken. Each day, we'll post the best submissions on Facebook, and the photo with the most likes that week wins a bag of coffee. More details at ktoo.org/photo.
Welcome back to a Juno afternoon here on Tuesday, March 25th. I've just been joined in the studio by Allison Cooper and Ann Kurland. Welcome, you two.
Hello. Hi, thanks for having us.
And you're both here representing the Girl Scouts of Juno. Is that right? Okay. Would one of you start and tell us, we have this wonderful Women of Science event happening on Saturday, but before we get to that, can you tell us a little bit about Girl Scouts in Juno?
Absolutely. So the Juno Girl Scouts are part of the Girl Scouts of Alaska Council. And here in Juno, we have about 300 girls involved from grades K through 12. And we have about 30 Girl Scout troops. But girls don't need to be in a troop to be involved in Girl Scouts. They can register as Girl Scouts and participate in any Girl Scout activities that we have throughout the year. And this event that we're going to be talking about today, they don't even need to be registered Girl Scouts. It's open for all girls.
All right. And how would you describe what Girl Scouts is after? What is the motivation or what is their mission statement, would you say?
Well, we are all about developing girls of courage, confidence, and character who make the world a better place.
Okay. I see. And Allison, you are the Juno Girl Scout STEM specialist. Can you tell me the acronym STEM again?
yes. STEM is our science, technology, engineering, and math. So that is a very near and dear to the Girl Scouts of Alaska right now. They're putting a lot of emphasis in these Women of Science events all over the state. They are huge supporters of the first LEGO League robotics program. We in Juno have two teams. But Girl Scouts are really seeing the need to encourage girls to get involved in science and technology and engineering and those fields.
And may I ask, were either of you Girl Scouts growing up?
I was a Brownie Girl Scout.
Okay.
I was through juniors.
All right.
But I've found out since then that the really fun stuff starts after you get a little older.
It's the most fun for adults, huh?
Or the middle school and high school girls have lots of opportunities.
Great. Speaking of opportunities, this Saturday at UAS is the Women of Science event. You want to tell us more about that?
It is Saturday, and what we will have is we've got some presenters from around town. We've got some sessions that they will do, some hands-on dissect a fish, program a robot,
great,
sorts of sessions. And then there will also be just an area where presenters will be out there with things that girls can just walk up and tinker with for a while and check out what they're doing. Rich Mattson's going to come with his touch tank, and they can make friends with a sea cucumber and those sorts of things.
And this is at UAS in the Egan Wing, is that
right? That's right, yes.
And, yeah, and what were you going to say?
Well, if you've ever been to a professional conference, we've organized the Women of Science event for girls, kind of like a professional conference. So you'll arrive and register at 12 noon. We'll have a little opening ceremony. And then at 1 o'clock, the girls will start following a schedule where they go to different sessions. And at each hour, there will be about 7 different choices of sessions that the girls can go to. And then each hour, they go to a different session. And in between time, or if they decide that they need a break and they want to skip a session, just like at a professional conference where you might have an expo where there are vendors with tables with all kinds of things that you can network with people and just kind of get your hands on stuff, that's what the Science Expo will be going on. Out in the hallways, there will be tables of hands-on science activities, and the girls can just spend as long or as little as they want at each table just trying out cool things for a few minutes, or if they're really into something, they can stay with it. And then, again, they can return to the sessions on the hour. So at 1, 2, and 3 o'clock, there will be different sessions they can choose from.
Great. I like the structure, but structure with lots of choices as well.
Definitely. It should be pretty high energy and a lot of fun.
Allison, what's your target age group for this event?
It's actually the entire range from kindergarten to 8th. We have some of the sessions that are going to be focused on the younger kids, and some of the sessions that will be focused on the older kids, and some of the sessions will be for both.
Okay. And Anne, you made a good point earlier that all girls in Juneau are welcome.
Absolutely. So the Women of Science event from 12 to 4 at UAS in the Egan Wing, it's $6 to come, but we do have financial assistance available, so no one should consider the cost a reason not to come. And any girl can come, whether she's ever been a Girl Scout or not. It's open to everyone.
Sounds good. I'm wondering what else we should cover. Anything else that you two would like to add?
If anyone would like to know more about Girl Scouts, we do have a website. It's girlscoutsalaska.org. And if you look there, you can actually find out more about Women of Science, see our past newsletters. And there's also information about our summer camps coming up.
Oh, great.
And that might be something that might interest folks.
Absolutely. Well, Anne Kurland, Allison Cooper, thank you so much for your time. Allison, was there anything else that you'd like to add?
No, I think that will do it.
All right. Well, thanks so much for coming down today, and I bet you'll have a lot of fun this Saturday out at UAS from noon to 4. Is that right?
That's right. So everybody has time to go out to Saga at 10, and then they can stop at UAS on their way back into town.
Great. Lots of activities this weekend for the whole family. Take care, you two, and thanks.
Thank you.
And here is the writer's almanac for Tuesday, the 25th of March, 2014. It's the birthday of the writer who said, "A woman without a man is like a fish without a bicycle." Gloria Steinem, born Toledo, 1934. Gloria Steinem also said, "Writing is the only thing that when I do it, I don't feel I should be doing something else." It's the birthday of a writer who said that her subject was the action of grace in territory held largely by the devil. Flannery O'Connor, born Savannah, 1925, a devout Roman Catholic. Her father was diagnosed with lupus and died when Flannery was a teenager. She went off to State College in Georgia, then to the University of Iowa to study journalism. Didn't care for journalism that much. Went in to see the director of the creative writing program, and she was too shy to speak, so he handed her a pad of paper, and she wrote down, "My name is Flannery O'Connor. I am not a journalist. Can I come to the writer's workshop?" And they let her in. She was homesick in Iowa City, wrote a letter to her mother every day, went every day to St. Mary's Catholic Church. And when she was a student at Iowa, at the age of 20, she began a journal of prayers, in which she wrote, "O Lord, I am saying, at present I am a cheese. Make me a mystic immediately. My soul, it's a moth who would be king, a stupid, slothful thing, a foolish thing, who wants God, who made the earth, to be its lover immediately." And the very next day she wrote, "My thoughts are so far away from God, he might as well not have made me. And the feeling I egg up writing here lasts approximately a half hour and seems a sham. I don't want any of this artificial, superficial feeling stimulated by the choir. Today I have proved myself a glutton for Scotch oatmeal cookies and erotic thought. There is nothing left to say of me." And that was the end of the prayer journal. She was diagnosed with lupus when she was 26, went back home to Milledgeville to live with her mother. She wrote every morning at a desk facing the back of a dresser so she'd have no distractions. She wrote two novels, Wise Blood and The Violent Barred Away, and 32 short stories, and died at the age of 39. It was on this day, 1960, the U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals in New York ruled that the unabridged version of Lady Chatterley's Lover by D.H. Lawrence was not obscene and could be sent through the U.S. mail. Here's a poem by Robert Frost on the sale of my farm. "Well away, and be it so, to the stranger let them go. Even cheerfully I yield pasture, orchard, mowing field, yea, and wish him all the gain I required of them in vain. Yea, and I can yield him house, barn, and shed, with rat and mouse to dispute possession of. These I can unlearn to love, since I cannot help it good. Only be it understood, it shall be no trespassing if I come again some spring in the gray disguise of years, seeking ache of memory here." On the Sale of My Farm, Robert Frost, from his collected poems, prose, and plays, published by the Library of America, and used by permission here on The Writer's Almanac. Supported by Lumosity.com, a brain training program designed by neuroscientists that has been used by 50 million people worldwide. More at Lumosity.com. Produced by Joy Biles, assistance by Teresa Burgess. Be well. Do good work, and keep in touch.
Support comes from Northern Audiology and Hearing Services in the Jordan Creek Center. Northern Audiology offers diagnostic medical hearing expertise and digital technology hearing instruments. 789-6780.
Welcome back to a Juno Afternoon here on Tuesday, March 25th. This year, Folk Fest is coming up, and this year our dance band is going to be the Gallus Brothers. Here is a number off the Gallus Brothers CD, Hello Neighbor, called Cocaine.
Brings me love. there with a note on her toes. The doctor said she can't smell no more. Run, doctor, ring the bell. Women in the alley, I'm simply wild about my good cocaine.
Welcome back to a Juno Afternoon here on Tuesday, March 25th, 2014. And we are honored to have the Flying Karamazov Brothers here in the studio.
Oh. Sorry, we're trained to do that.
Pavlovian.
Flying Karamazov really? Brothers.
Hello!
Great. Great.
Now he's discovered his power.
No.
He's just going to say it for the whole interview. I'm
never gonna I use the acronym FKB?
Hello.
What?
Awesome. Yeah, it does it. Yeah.
That's good.
Welcome to Juno, you four. Can we go down the line and please introduce yourself and what you do as part of this operation?
I am Dmitry Karamazov, also known as Paul McGee in real life. And what do I do for this operation? I juggle. I play music. I do funny ha-ha and a lot of really good ballet technique.
Oh, man, that doesn't leave much for the rest of us.
All right.
I'm Zosima Karamazov, or Stephen Bent. I'm, I think, officially the music director these days, although we all kind of fight about what that means. And I also juggle and present even better ballet technique.
Right. Wow. I'm Nikita Karamazov, and I also, my name is Andy Sepora, and I forget what I do, so I'll tell you if I think of it.
All right.
I'm Rod Kimball. And I play the part of Pavel Karamazov. I mostly do stupid things behind the scenes for the other guys to laugh at.
Oh, I'm good at packing the van. I just remembered.
I reach things on tall shelves. I'm very tall. Helps.
I have a big nose.
Very funny.
We're going to find a use for that.
Sounds like a great team.
We have a lot of skills.
I bet.
Really, and... We're going to use them soon.
You're
right,
gonna,
guys?
One of these days.
You're
going
to demonstrate tonight all these skills tonight. Over at the high school. Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct.
That's a high school? Oh, my goodness. I thought it was a theater.
It's a great theater, isn't it? The Juno Douglas High School Theater. I love watching stuff there.
Yeah.
I'm glad you all will be there.
It'll be fun.
For our listening audience who hasn't seen you guys before, how would you describe what you do? And remember, this is radio, so you're going to have to be very descriptive.
I think the shortest description is juggling and cheap theatrics.
Yep. I would say, yes, juggling with music and stupid jokes.
Well, not that stupid.
And music.
Well, I mean, mainly very stupid.
I mean, I say that with love. I love stupid jokes.
Yeah.
And yes. Smart jokes.
Yes, he does.
There's a couple smart jokes. You see if you can find them in the show.
Please tell us what they are.
Come up afterwards and say, you guys have a couple smart jokes you should know about.
And music, right?
And lots music. Of music.
Yeah.
Combination of juggling and music.
What he says. Combination of juggling and music. As well as.
Lights. I've seen some light show stuff.
Some light show stuff. There are definitely lights in the theater. If there weren't, you wouldn't see much of a show.
The juggling gets better when it's lit.
Yeah, I've noticed. Yeah. People see the juggling. Like, for example, this radio is an extreme example of a lack of lighting for the juggling.
Very dark.
No one in the radio world can...
They can't even see you juggling right now.
Yeah, exactly. Right.
Oh, and man. It's pretty amazing.
Really? Well, you're too are we really that. Juggling right now?
Yes.
Oh, wow. Okay. This must be Juno because it's, you know, you can say whatever you want.
We like
here.
To use our imagination.
They're willing to work with us.
And let's see, Dimitri... You wrote Foreplay, is that correct? And is this based off of that?
It's an amalgam of many things written by a lot by me, but by also other Karamazovs, many most of whom are not with us today.
Okay. Okay.
They're alive.
Yeah, they clearly die. They still live in other places.
No, Paul McCartney. Yeah, right. Yeah, that sounded grim.
Yeah. Well.
Okay.
So, yeah, many have retired.
Okay.
And are retiring and shy.
I see. Among the things that I'm impressed with that you guys are able to do is multitask. Among your skills that you just went through, ability to tell jokes, juggle, play music. I mean, like right now I'm hanging on by a thread trying to actually talk to you guys and run all these knobs and stuff. But you guys can juggle like... I don't know how many things you get up in the air, but it's pretty amazing.
Well, there's one. It's a really cool piece in the show where, like, instead of playing our own instruments, we each play half of the guy next to us's instrument, and then there's singing and playing, you know, and there's juggling on top of that, so that at the same, no one person is doing one complete task. Everyone's doing half of a task. Like, maybe you're juggling with one hand and strumming the guitar with the other, and then it goes down the line until you've got a full loop.
Right, it's kind of a pat your belly and rub your head combo thing.
I think it's supposed to be rub your belly and pat your
that's
head.
That's why I can't get
so
it.
So for example, it's that hard already to describe, is what I'm saying. And so now try doing it. Okay?
I think Zosimus has the toughest job because he's got to finger the guitar, which is... Exactly.
Fretting. I would call it fretting. Yeah.
No. Yeah. Well, over the radio show.
Yeah. We don't want to be ambiguous over the radio.
I'm fretting the guitar with my left hand, and then I'm. Well, I think we have to call it fingering now.
Fingering the baritone.
The euphonium. There's a euphonium horn, like a small tuba on the other side that Nikita, Andy over here, is
I'm playing
is blowing,
I'm blowing it.
But
notes.
You're doing it backwards.
And I'm fingering it. And I play euphonium, but it's because I'm on the other side, it's all backwards fingering from what it should be if you were actually playing the instrument for real. And so it was like extra brain scrambly. I had to think of it as learning a
new
instrument.
And then you have to sing, too.
And then singing. And then singing. Well, that's
happening. And harmonizing with Paul over here.
And I merely have to blow into the euphonium the correct notes and do the fingerings for the bottom half of the recorder of the guy, Pavel, next to me. So, actually, we're in the right order right now.
Yeah, we're actually, by total coincidence, sitting in order to do the trick. If we had the instruments...
We could just go right now.
So I have to come to the show and see.
For those of us that can't multitask, how do you learn how to do that all at the same time?
Well, I think it's pretty embarrassing.
It is really, you don't want to have anyone there who's not aware of what it's like to do it. Because it just
right, but you
bad.
Can only really practice it with everybody else there. And so you have to embarrass yourself in front of them.
Right, at least the other three guys doing it are going to be in that pile of poo.
They're feeling just as stupid.
Yeah. And there's a few moments where you've done it pretty well for the first time ever, and you're very exhilarated, but then, of course, you don't get quite through the piece, so your mind shuts down, and you go, Gah! And then you'll have, like, three guys doing it relatively well, and one person will throw down his instrument and run away and go, I can't anymore, I can't!
And you're like, what happened? I thought it was going really well.
Right, and you guys try some really hard stuff, and sometimes it doesn't come together perfectly. But
what are you talking about?
Well,
maybe you're talking about the gamble to you. This is something we want to like promote for the
right.
show.
Because
yeah. that doesn't work out well for some people.
Yeah, Alaska's been destroying you.
Yeah, we do want to promote that because it makes the show so much better if people know about it in advance. So if you're coming to see the show, you should know that if you bring something extraordinary for us to juggle, we will have to juggle.
We will attempt to juggle.
Well, the audience gets to vote of the three objects we get to juggle. So,
yeah.
So you have to bring something really cool, and then your peers will vote to see whether your object will actually make it among the last final three. And then we get 10 counts to keep those three objects in the air, and if three tries, and if we keep them in the air for 10 counts, we get a standing ovation. However, if we lose, I get a pie in the face.
Yay!
So bring really difficult objects.
Really good objects.
They do have to be more than an ounce, less than 10 pounds, no bigger than a bread box, no live animals, and nothing which might prevent Dimitri from continuing to be a live animal himself.
Yeah. So I guess, would a 8-pound salmon?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, bring it on.
Yeah, bring it on.
Yeah. What kind of sockeye?
Maybe. I'm not sure. Winter oh, King, maybe.
We have kings are good. White kings. We like white kings. We'll keep them.
Extra juggleable.
What kind of pie?
It's Gillette meringue.
Okay.
My favorite. Easy to make.
If you're, and just a couple pointers, you know, since I don't have to juggle the things. Everything's harder to juggle if you cover it in butter.
Yeah.
Or grease or really anything. You know.
Like last thing on Parachute, that was the
Here's another rookie mistake I want to give you guys a tip on. If it's ice cream and it has a wrapper on it, don't give us the wrapper. Yeah, we'll use the wrapper.
Or oh, yeah, salmon. Yeah, in Anchorage, someone brought us a salmon, but then they left it in the, like, plastic, yeah. And it wasn't gross so at all. It was really disappointing.
So why are we going to take the wrapper off and make it more fun for you if it's going to make him lose? No, we're not. Wow. We're carnies.
No wrappers. No wrappers. Yeah. Make it challenging is what I'm hearing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bring
yeah,
it. So come
Bring
on, Juno.
Just as an example. What's the most challenging challenge or gamble item that you've ever been given?
Well, Paul, you've lost the last two, right? So we could just start with
yeah,
those.
Keep talking about that. Just press that in. Just, you know, give me the little thumbs down.
Saying, keep the streak going, Juno. You got this.
You got this.
See,
so far?
Well, I had a little, like, crab from Kodiak, only weighed less than an ounce.
No,
these guys have seen ounces before. I know they have. Well, they're from Washington State, so, you know, we all see a lot of ounces. Anyway, I'm not going to talk about that. This is Alaska. It's not legal here, is it?
What?
Well, mostly.
Anything?
Right?
No.
I don't
think so, if anything.
But anyway, what else do I have in Juneau? No, not Juno. I mean Kodiak.
It was a 10-pound bowling, or a 9-pound bowling ball. Or no, that was
an anchor.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, a 9-pound bowling ball. Although it was only someone said it was 9 pounds, they really didn't
That'd
know.
That'd be great, actually, because
scientifically verified.
So they gave me a crab, which they knew was less than an ounce, and they gave me a bowling ball, which they didn't know was if it was
no,
10 pounds.
Or anything. They said the audience.
You guys are really helping.
Yeah, multiple
me out.
People in the audience said it was 9 pounds.
Yeah.
So I think they must have all independently verified.
Yeah, that was right.
And we had a and someone gave me a chum salmon. Not a king salmon, not a sockeye.
We've never been more
into it. Not a coho.
Spawned out chum.
You know, not even a humpy.
The
affront.
The affront.
It's a humpy.
I'll tell you later.
You're too young to know.
The mere fact that you called me humpy tells me you're not old enough.
No, this is public radio, guys. Come on, come on.
So it seems like you guys have a lot of fun. What do you like most about what you do?
Having fun, I think.
Yeah.
And also, I mean, the skill of it's great. I mean, some of it is actually really hard. And like when we do this other bit called jazz juggling, it really is sort of improvisational juggling. And it gets pretty wacky and, you know, it can be really magical at times.
So. Yeah, when you hit that right groove where you can kind of feel like this is just the right kind of bad pass to throw right now that will make it really exciting and right on the edge of falling apart.
And it doesn't fall apart. Yeah, that's a magic.
Yeah, that's a magic. Yeah.
On the other hand,
fall apart, that's really loud and that's cool.
Yeah, it's funny. It's usually is funny.
Yeah, we play a lot with failure. Failure's good, we think.
It's like a theme.
Juggling is dropping.
Come see our show. It's all about failure.
Yeah.
Are you a failure? Come to our show.
You'll feel great with us.
Yeah, it seems like you make success out of failure somehow, and you laugh at it and keep going and have fun with it.
It's basically the idea.
Right, and that gives then it's possible for anyone.
Yeah.
We're leading the way to failure, so it can feel good for you, too.
I imagine you guys have to practice a lot.
We do when we're learning stuff, and we've done it for, like this show we've been doing for a while, so we, you know, we need to rehearse.
We've been drilling the show all day. Just kidding, we went to the ice caves, it was awesome.
By drilling the show, we went hiking across a glacier.
The ice caves were incredible.
Really cool, Juno. You guys have cool ice caves.
We do. Yeah.
I guess you know about that already, but...
We do, but it's great to hear it from outside sources.
Although, the guy who took us there, I'm not going to name names, but he told us a really funny story. He said the first time he'd ever found the caves, he got to the hole. There's like, I don't know if you're familiar, there's a giant hole that goes down to the bottom of the cave from up above. And he and his friend got there, and they didn't know there was a cave there. So they're like, oh, look at this big hole. This is great. We can pee down this. And then they hiked around, and they got to the mouth of the cave, and they hiked into the cave, and there was a bunch of people down there. And they didn't mention it. Anyway, we will not tell you who took us
no,
to the cave.
10,000 years from now, they'll be finding that pee.
Yeah. Yeah. And they'll clone that guy. Right. That'll be neat.
So cool.
Then everyone will know who it was.
Yeah. It's the only way to find out.
Yeah.
Well, it should be a great show tonight. It's at the Juno Douglas High School in the auditorium. It starts at 7 p.m. And you can get tickets at all the regular spots, including the Jack and Hearthside Books, and probably at the door, even if you want to. These guys are awesome, and if you have a chance to go see them tonight, everyone, I would highly, highly recommend it.
You heard him.
Don't forget to butter up your salmon for us to jug.
Forget the butter.
Take the wrapper off.
And here's an official challenge call out to Juno. Let's bring something very, very challenging to the gamble tonight. It's three items, right?
Yeah. Yep.
Three items, more than an ounce, less than 10 pounds.
Right.
What else?
No bigger than a bread box.
I mean, he can modify the object three times, so things that are difficult to modify, or that when you modify them, it looks like it will make it easier to juggle, but it's a surprise that it's like gets harder. Think about that one.
Wow.
Thanks. Thanks, Nikita.
We're behind you all the way.
Yeah, that's who that is.
No problem.
Well, gentlemen, thank you so much for coming in today.
Nice to be back.
Yeah, it's great to have you back. Anything else you'd like to add?
Yeah, I think it's really cool that from the studio here, I can see a beautiful mountain out your window.
Yeah. It's even too tall to see out the window.
You need a bigger window.
We want to come back with Chautauqua, too, but we won't say anything about it.
Except for just that.
All right, to learn and see more, head over to the auditorium tonight at 7 p.m. The Flying Karamazov Brothers, thank you all so much.
Oh!
Thank you.
Pretty baby while the weather's cool. Light on 360 North. At 8 o'clock, the documentary Tracks in Time, All-Terrain Vehicles in Alaska, tackles the problem of off-road vehicles, their negative effects on the fragile environment, and efforts to mitigate those effects. Native Report is next at 8:30. At 9, The Odyssey of Captain Healy tells the dramatic tale of the revenue cutter captain, famed from San Francisco to the Alaska Territory. Gavel Alaska returns at 10 tonight on 360 North and 360north.org.
Welcome back to a Juno Afternoon here on Tuesday, March 25th, 2014. I've been joined in the studio by folks from Montessori Borealis, Corey, Scotty, and Dana. Welcome.
Thank you.
Thanks. Nice to have you in the studio today. So you have a few things going on, some open houses, some application periods. Corey, you want to tell us about that?
Well, this is the time of the year where if you're interested in putting your child in the Montessori Borealis public program as part of the Juno School District next year, all the optional programs are coming to this time of the year where people will consider those things, and if they'd like to enter into a lottery is not exactly the right word, but a selection process, because essentially us, like a lot of the optional programs, are oversubscribed. So basically there are more people who would like to get into the program than we simply have seats available. And so then there has to be some kind of a selection process. And so we're coming up on that time of the year, and we have a couple of nights, one night and one weekend morning set aside for parents of prospective students to come in and sit down with us as teachers, and we'll give a presentation about what Montessori is, what it looks like, you know, answer all kinds of questions, and then give people an opportunity to sign up to come into the classrooms and observe. Because most of us didn't go to Montessori schools, we don't really know what that looks like, and it's really wise. Incredibly wise, I can't stress this enough, to come in and actually take a look at a classroom in function and, you know, in the middle of a work period and get a sense of what it's like, because that's the only way you can really make a judicious decision about whether that would be a good fit for your child.
Good advice. And for folks that don't know, Montessori Borealis is down by Sandy Beach, is that correct?
Actually, this is a really common misconception, so I'm glad you bring that up.
Yeah.
Because the state doesn't currently fund below kindergarten, the Children's House, which is in Douglas, is a private nonprofit, and that's been there for a number of years.
Okay.
It even predates the public program. But Montessori Borealis is a public school program, so it is not private. I want to say this. There are about 500... I think there are about 500,000 Montessori schools in the United States. Only about 500 of those are public programs.
Interesting.
And Juno is fortunate enough to have a public program. So it is public. It's part of the public school systems. It's an optional program within the Juno School District. And our program is located in Marie Drake Building. And it encompasses grades, currently encompasses grades 1 through 8.
All right. So. I see. And what are a couple of the misconceptions that some folks, Dana, you mentioned that they should really come in and see what's going on in Montessori. What are a couple of misconceptions that you find that folks have?
Well, there are
Dana, sorry, you can get your names mixed up, Dana.
Okay.
Sorry.
Well, that we are a part of the public school system. We are a public program. Our diversity categories are similar to any of the other schools with public schools within the school district. One misconception that I've heard over the years is that we're religious. We are not a religious school.
Mm.
We just have a specific pedagogy, a way of teaching that is
It's very highly codified, yeah. Maria Montessori has been gone for a long time, but without going into a lengthy discourse on who Montessori was and what she created, I will just simplify it down to a couple of sound bites. Long story short, Maria Montessori was an Italian woman. She was a pioneer in the field of education. She was very driven, and I think she was probably a genius on top of that. And she intentionally, at a certain point, set out to redesign the educational system. And from where I stand, she pretty much knocked it out of the park. And modern educational research confirms on a very regular basis what Montessori compiled through empirical observation a lot of years ago. So it's a system that works really well. It's worldwide. Curiously enough, because you can't say that mainstream education is a single codified pedagogy. It means that Montessori is the largest single pedagogy in the world, actually, as a codified entity. So it's very well known. It works very well. It's a great system, but it's a little different, like I said, than what we're used to seeing. So,
I would say on that note that another misconception is that it is totally free choice, and that's not the case. In a classroom, it is very structured. Students have choices. That is true, but there are choices based on structure and option, and the options can be limited. But the students, there is choice, but it's not an open-ended, choose whatever you want to work on kind of thing.
Okay. Well, to learn more about this and to see this in action, remind us again, Corey, of the events coming up.
Yeah, so let me just dig back through my calendar here, which I have in front of me. If I can find the right place. So we have a couple of parent information evenings coming up, and the first one will be
Thursday.
Thank you.
Actually, at 5:30. So I think that's March. I want to say that's March 27th.
That's right. This Thursday, March 27th, 5:30 to 7.
Okay.
It will be in the Marie Drake building, which is in between Juno Douglas High School and Harborview. So the planetarium entrance by the turf field is where you'll want to go in, then take a left and go upstairs. Our program is upstairs in the Marie Drake building. So 5:30 to 7 on Thursday, this Thursday the 27th, we'll have an information meeting then. And after the information meeting, we will give people an opportunity to sign up for observations in the classrooms in the following weeks after that. And there will be another information meeting on the 29th, which is Saturday, and that will be 10 o'clock to 11:30 on Saturday morning, and again in the Marie Drake building upstairs in our college.
So if you are interested in your child being in Montessori Borealis, or that they might be, you might be interested in Montessori, Borealis, come by and ask questions and see what it's about. We have openings for first through eighth grade, so middle school as well, and that's another one of those pieces people don't realize is we do have. It is first through eighth grade in the public, Juno Public Schools.
Yeah, so many children in our program go first through eighth grade and then pop right out into high school, and that's how it works. And like you said before, there are many misconceptions. So so that you're not making a choice based on misconceptions, it's really great to come in, get some information, and sign up for an observation. So we can't encourage that strongly enough. So, well, and if you can't make it to one of those public information meetings, you can still contact our school and sign up for an observation. Because we're happy to talk to you about the program. If you can't make those meetings, we'll come to you in some way or another.
That sounds great. So some nice opportunities to learn more about Montessori Borealis over there in the Marie Drake building between the high school and Harborview Elementary. Corey, Scotty, and Dana, thank you three so much for coming in today, and I wish you luck with your meetings and open houses, and anyone who's interested in learning more about Montessori, please go see them. Thanks you all so much.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
And thank you all for tuning in to a Juno Afternoon today here on March 25th, 2014. Tomorrow, your host is going to be Ken Fix. He's got a great show. You'll learn more about toxic chemicals, a public lecture and film on toxic chemicals with Tracy Woodruff and Pam Miller. We'll get a preview of the music of Harrison B., who will be performing an Alaskan Originals concert Thursday night at 360 North. We'll talk with Shelley Gill, author of the new children's book, Alaska Dog Heroes. And we'll get the details on this week's early learning conference with guests Joy Lyon and keynote speaker Diane Werrell Grabowski. That and more, Writer's Almanac, National Native News here on Juno Afternoon. You're listening to 104.3 KTOO FM, and now we'll join with All Things Considered.